Hello friends, and welcome to session one of the Community Noise Cast. I'm Adam, and I'm joined today with my co-host, Andy.
Hello.
This is the first episode of the podcast where we aim to have a chat about releases we've enjoyed, gigs we've been to, and have a bit of a ramble. Community Noise is a recording studio and audio production company based out of Dorset in the UK. We offer mixing, recording, live sessions, and all that good stuff. Andy, how's your week going?
Oh, it's going well. I feel like the year has properly started now. I've been to my first gig, which I'm going to talk a bit more about later. There are more gigs coming up. So yeah, it feels like things are just rolling along, really. How about you?
Yeah, fairly eventful week. I have been, as you're aware, but the listeners won't be aware, I have been tiling my kitchen, which I don't think I want to go into that as a vocation. Represent for all the tilers out there, doing a great job, but not for me. part of the issue here is that I had
welcome to the Community Tile podcast.
Exactly.
Community DIY podcast.
I mean, I've done a fair amount of DIY lately, so maybe that would work. But the complication there was mostly that I had an allergic reaction to the tile adhesive. So my body currently, well, a few days after using it, my body ended up looking like a blotchy mess, which is very nice. And I was trying to work out what had caused it. And then I took one look at the tub and it did say may cause allergic reaction. And it definitely did. But you'd think it would be a hint when when I was actually doing it. And I couldn't really breathe and I had a massive headache. But there you go.
That could have been a giveaway.
Exactly. You live and you learn.
Yeah. There's one thing I have to ask, though. Like, is there anything in that adhesive that makes you say weird things to completely normal statements by your friends or co-hosts? Because you don't know where I'm going with this.
I'm desperately trying to work out where you're taking this, but no, go ahead.
This afternoon, when you messaged me if I'm free tonight to record this, and I confirmed that I'm indeed free tonight to record this.
Yep.
You replied with "sicko ding dong." What's that about, Adam?
it's just funny, isn't it? To be honest, I don't even know. I don't know the etymology of where that came from, apart from my brain. But
must be the adhesive. There must be the allergic reaction.
Yeah, exactly. Like, long-term effects of breathing in tile adhesive.
All right, so let's get to our first segment for this episode, which is The Take. The Take is where each of us pick an album or an EP or a song that resonated with us recently and recommended to you. Adam, what did you bring for us today?
My take today is Suds, The Great Overgrowth.
Nice.
So this is the debut album from a Norwich-based band called Suds. It's the follow-on from their EP, which I think must have come out. I'm not entirely sure. I think it came out last year. And the previous EP was called In the Undergrowth. I did listen to the EP when it came out. It took a while for me to get around to checking it out. It was one of those things that kind of passed me by initially, and then I thought, oh, I need to listen to it. And I enjoyed it, but I kind of quickly moved on and ended up listening to other things. The album came out, and this was after I'd seen them live. I saw them in Southampton at Heartbreakers, which is a great little venue. And I can't remember who they were supporting. I think it may have been Paul Kids. And yeah, as I said, I'd heard the EP, I think before that, and just seeing their name around, coming up on tours and that kind of thing. And actually, I was pretty blown away. The album wasn't out at that point. I kind of mentally made a note to think, I need to check this out when it comes out. And then when I saw it was announced, I did the same thing again. I kind of added it to my playlist of albums to check out. And then
the infamous long playlist.
It's very long. In fact, currently, I'm going to just give you the current playtime of this playlist.
I've recommended so many things that ended up in the depths of this playlist, and I never hear about the recommendations again. I don't know if you ever get around to listening to them.
But do you know what's funny, though, is that sometimes things skip it, and I just listen to them, and I sort of feel bad for the other songs that have been added in there for the last God knows how many years. You know, those albums where you just think, oh, I'll get round to that. Like, I will listen to Goo by Sonic Youth at one point in my life. I've also just outed myself as not listening to that seminal record. But yeah, I'll get there one day.
We all have them. I have way more of those albums that I haven't listened to.
Start a playlist, you know, my friend. But yeah, okay, the current playtime of this playlist is 59 hours and 15 minutes. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that long if you listen to it in one go. Couple of days, you know?
If I don't sleep or work or... Yeah. I can eat and drink at least while I'm doing it. But I'll do it on the toilet. Then I don't even need to worry about that. For the record, I want to defend myself and say I definitely have listened to stuff from it. But also, you're not the only person who recommends stuff and it goes in there. And then, it'll be like 2 years later and I'll go, oh, that album, it's great, isn't it? And you'll be like, what? You know, 15 years later and I'll get around to it. But I love a list. Playlist. Check
bucket list.
Bucket list. Well, finishing this playlist is on my fucking bucket list.
Nice.
Back to the topic at hand. I saw Suds at Heartbreakers and was blown away. Put the album on this playlist and not sure why it spoke to me the day that I decided to check it out, but I was scrolling down. I thought, oh, I need to check that out. Listened to it and was instantly grabbed by it. I think part of that is that the first song, the opening track, Terrible Thing, is instantly hooky and I don't know. There's just something about how the song opens for me that even now when I listen to it, because I've listened to this album a lot since picking it out, the vocal and the guitar together, how it opens, just really resonates with me. And yeah, I think it's a great album. I think it's amazing that it's a debut. I know they're not a new band, but it's really nice when you discover a band, you see them live, you've heard maybe an EP or two, and you listen to the sort of their first statement to the world. You know, an album is still, in my mind, thing that is you're putting out there to say, okay, this is what we've worked towards, and here we go. And it'd be kind of perfect, to be honest. After getting familiar with the record, I saw them quite recently again, actually. They were supporting Spanish Love Songs in Southampton maybe a month ago, and they were obviously touring the record, so knowing the songs quite intimately and seeing them on like a really decent sized stage, having a receptive crowd. So bear in mind that the first time I saw them was 100 cap venue. And, you know, less than a year later, seeing them at Engine Rooms, and I can't remember what the capacity of Engine Rooms is, but it's, you know, it's significantly larger than that. And and a decent crowd who seemed very receptive to it. So, yeah, that's my pick, The Great Overgrowth by Suds. And my recommended track is Terrible Thing, the opening song. I think if you like that song, you're going to love the rest of the album. And otherwise, check out Paint My Body or just listen to the whole thing. You have a great time.
Nice. Awesome. I didn't listen to the whole album. I listened to those two tracks specifically, and I could hear immediately why you like them. That sounds like pretty much your sort of style. I really appreciated the vocals, because they're quite clean. They're quite like really nice harmonies. Just lovely, like lovely singing voice in a way. And that worked really well for me as well. I will definitely go back to that album and check it out a bit more.
I think her voice is incredible. It's funny because I would say, again, it's kind of more, I'd put it more in the pop, kind of like more of a pop sensibility. But
yeah.
And also, this is just a minor thing, but having seen them live, because I think that's added a lot for me. I mean, that will do for most people, I guess. You see a band live, it's always nice to hear a record and see them, or vice versa.
Yeah.
But their stage demeanor is so good. It's just nice, humble. They get up, they do their thing, and you can tell they appreciate that they're there. Okay. So, Andy, what is your pick for the take?
My pick is the album Blood Moon by a band called Rum Buffalo, which is a band I had not heard before, like up until a week ago or something like that. You know, like sometimes there's music that you find at sort of just the right time, or it almost finds you at the right time.
Yeah.
And I had a bit of a weird day. I was feeling a bit grumpy, you know, not quite myself.
Did we trade places for the day?
maybe, yeah. Maybe it was your spirit that went into my body and just, yeah, made me miserable. No, you're not miserable. You're all right. But yeah, like I felt a bit, you know, a bit down. And I think I was scrolling through Instagram or whatever. Like I was supposed to be working. I wasn't. Scrolling through Instagram. And I saw a band that I like called No Violet. They actually just recorded their first album, which is hopefully coming out soon. I'm really looking forward to that. But that's not what I'm talking about. They announced a gig that they're playing. They're supporting this band that I'm talking about, Rum Buffalo. They shared like a reel from their profile, and I didn't even watch it with sound. I just saw the reel, and it just, like, without the sound, a band, like quite a big band, playing live in a room together. I could see a brass section. I could see sort of a choir in the background, and I was like, this feels like it could be something I enjoy. And I went straight onto YouTube and to find the full video, because I knew the reel was probably just going to be a snippet of it, and I wanted to see the full video, and I absolutely fell in love with it. And it was exactly the kind of music that I needed to get out of that slump on that day. Just, you know, high energy, like sort of riffy psych rock groove stuff, and it just instantly connected with me. So Rum Buffalo are an 8-piece, so they're almost like a little big band, including that horn section. They have like a traditional jazz background. They used to busk in London, and you can still hear that sort of jazz background in some of the songs. There's a song like quite early on called Fire, which is sort of like a swing shuffle kind of rhythm, but that sort of background morphed into this sometimes quite heavy, riffy psych rock thing, which borrows from all kinds of different genres now. There's another song on there called Spark Dreamer, which is, the band themselves described it as more EDM than jazz. There's a rap part in one of the other songs called Screamer Preacher. And yeah, it just was really a really fun listen. It's not a short album. it's like 55 minutes long.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I tend to advocate for, you know, make it a good 35 minutes. Like that's for an album. Like that's usually my attention span.
We don't want 2.5-hour films, and we don't want 55-minute long albums.
Yeah, I mean, that might be me scrolling Instagram too much, you know, like reducing my attention span. But you know, yeah, it's still a good album, and it does a thing that a lot of albums that long don't do, which is usually I'm sort of into it and invested in it for the first third. And then like towards the end, it just fizzles out and I sort of lose interest a little bit. And there's something about this album. It has little highlights spread out throughout.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, even if there's a song maybe where, yeah, I'm sort of, it's fine to have it in the background, but not super into it. And then there's something that just draws me right back in. And yeah, they do that throughout the album and has this like really infective energy throughout, which just, yeah, worked really well and connected with me. It's only available for streaming, so you can't actually, I wanted to buy it. I was denied. But you can find it on Spotify, Tidal, and any other sort of streaming platform if you want to give it a listen.
So you mentioned that they started out busking in London. So are they based in London?
They are based in London, yeah. And they've been going since like 2015 or something like that.
Right.
They've been going for quite a long time. And this is their first album, which sort of explains probably a little bit why it's so long, because they've had all this time to write music and they've released singles and stuff in between. But this is the first proper album that they released. And I assume it was just them going, okay, let's put everything out there that we've worked on so far. I think they started in 2015. Yeah, the first release that I could find was from 2016. So, yeah, they've been going for a while.
So you shared that video with me before I listened to the album, and the first thing that hit me was like the production value of the video was really high. It looks like it's a directed proper thing, you know, a real high quality video. And yeah, the other thing that hit me instantly was a bit, I guess, like what you said with Suds and Me. I listened to it and thought, yeah, I can see why you like this. The thing that I got from it was really a mix of styles, interesting elements, various instruments going on, all that kind of thing. This touched on that whilst also leaning more into the sort of psych rock stuff that you were saying. I was thinking about that Mother's Cake record. And not to say they sound the same. They're very distinctively different albums. But to be honest, there is something about that like groovy kind of prog thing that both of those bands are doing.
Yeah.
Where there is some crossover.
The album that you mean is Cyberfunk by Mother's Cake, which is another album I absolutely loved. Came out in 2020. I totally get what you mean. It does a similar thing where it's a coherent album, but it still goes through so many different vibes and moods and genres. And Blood Moon does the same. I guess like the one through line is that psych rock groove thing. But along the way, it does so many things, and you think you know where a track is going, and then it takes a turn, and it just takes you somewhere completely different. And that's, yeah, you're right. That's a bit of me.
And when did this record come out?
That came out last year. Like I said, is only available for streaming. But I hope maybe they'll release it at some point, because I'd like to own it.
Slap it on wax.
Or another medium.
Are you going to be going to the gig?
That gig is in Bristol, I'm afraid. So probably not, because I'm London-based. So probably won't make it there. But I really hope that they'll make it back to London quite soon. So that was Blood Moon by Ram Buffalo, which is my pick for this episode. If you want to check them out, I recommend giving the track Chains ago, which is the first one I listened to, which was that video. You can see that. You can watch that on YouTube. And as a sort of deeper listening suggestion, it's the track Screamer Preacher, which is the one that has that rap part in it, which is just insane. And it grooves like hell. And it's amazing.
Okay, let's move into our next segment. This is The Live Room. Andreas, do you want to tell us about the last show you went to?
Yes. The last show I went to was the last dinner party at the Roundhouse on the 1st of February. The last dinner party are a band that has produced a huge hype around them. Like, they just won the Brit Rising Star Award. They played on Later with Jules. They've been on Graham Norton. They were on the late on Colbert's Late Show in the US. They have just released their album last week as well. So this was essentially their album release show. And there's been like all of this buzz around them, which I've been following for the last half year or so. And because there has been this massive amount of attention around them, they have been accused of being industry plants by all kinds of people. Adam, can you define the word industry plant for me? What does that mean to you?
I can't remember if it was you that put me onto them originally or...
Probably.
But they're obviously, you know, they've made waves enough for people to think that they're industry plants. But, yeah, okay, the terminology. The idea that a record label or some nefarious actor has created a band and put them into the world to be successful. I don't really know how to define this. It's really hard, isn't it?
But yeah, no, I think you defined it quite well. Like it's something artificial about them. Like,
yeah,
they were put out into the world to make money for the whoever put them out there, like the label or whoever. That they were artificially put together as a band with the sole aim of making a lot of money, without any concern for artistic merit or anything like that. It's just a money-making scheme, basically.
There's usually something about the artist or the band or whatever that means that it's not just like an average band that could be churned out by, you know, the industry or whatever.
Yeah. It has to catch on, in a way.
I think that's where the skepticism comes in for people. It's like, how does this thing that's a bit different get so much recognition and get so many accolades and get big so quickly in this industry?
I'm not going to say that they didn't get help from the industry. They signed with Island Records like really early on. I think they're represented by Q Prime, which is the same management company that Metallica is with. Like, they have industry power behind them, obviously.
Yeah.
But the idea that this was all part of a big plan turning out exactly as it was planned from the beginning, I don't think that's possible anymore. Like, back in the 80s, maybe, when we talking about like fucking Milli Vanilli or something like that, the industry controlled what was on the radios and what was on MTV and all of that, you know. Like, the influence the industry had back then was far greater than what we have today, where everything is just so much more bitty and like people get their sort of music fixes from all kinds of different places, and you can't create that big thing as easily anymore as that used to be the case.
Yeah, there's no central pipe that is coming down into everyone's house, which is beaming in the hot
next
new
big thing.
Yeah,
exactly. Anyway, let's talk a bit more about the show itself. So what I really like about the band and what I really appreciate about the show is that they're playing this very baroque kind of pop indie rock, very theatrical, very like big gestures musically and in terms of their performance. People compare them to Florence and the Machine, ABBA, Queen, Bowie, like all kinds of things. And the funny thing I noticed is that there's so many, like, if you read comment sections online, people say something like, oh, they're the new X, or oh, I might rather listen to Y instead, basically. And it's never the same thing. Like, it's never, like, everyone thinks, oh, they obviously sound like this band, but they can't agree on who this band is. they all pick something else, which is quite remarkable.
That's quite an interesting position to be in as an artist, isn't it? Being compared to about, you know, 10 different things that people will fight over to say, you definitely sound like this. They definitely sound like this, but actually they say that about 10 different other things.
which is quite remarkable. And like, not to say that they aren't influenced by all of these, but it's quite a eclectic mix of artists and bands that they are influenced by, which again is something I like. I like bands that take me to sort of unforeseen different places, and they definitely do that. And they convert that grandiosity, that theatricality on stage really well. Like the Roundhouse is, it's a great looking venue. Doesn't sound amazing, unfortunately, but it is a nice place to look at for sure. And they had these big white curtains on the stage. They were like chandeliers. And then they came out in their sort of opulent, flowing costumes and everything.
Was it seated?
No, it was.
Okay.
It was standing. But it would make sense almost to have it seated, because it has that almost, yeah, theatrical vibe to like how they're presenting themselves. Especially the singer, Abigail Morris, she like does all these big gestures and sort of is definitely the focal point, but then also she makes sure that she sort of puts the spotlight on all the other musicians in the band. The solo guitarist, Emily Roberts, she's quite a small person with a quite big guitar, and like occasionally she comes front and center and just plays like a big stadium guitar solo, which is
rocks
just,
the F out.
It's amazing. It's so great to see, and it's all that pomp and theatricality that I really appreciate. And what's sort of the defining thing about the band is that they do that unashamedly, not with like an ironic twist to it or something like that, where they're like, oh, look at us being like theatrical. They lean into it and they fully commit to the bit. Which I just find kind of punk, like that, just to do that and be like, we don't give a fuck if you think this is over the top. This is us. This is what we do.
I think we need more of that, to be honest. Just generally, this is a bit of an aside, but I do feel like in the last sort of 10 to 15 years, we've seen a real thing of being self-aware to the point that you can't be seen to just enjoy the thing, that you're aware that the thing is silly.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a certain amount of cynicism associated with that, instead of just going, I fucking love this. I'm going to enjoy it.
Yeah. And that's really their whole message. To commit to the bit. When you're feeling something, feel it with all your heart, with your whole being, and do the same thing when you're expressing yourself creatively. Like, put all of your emotions in there. And that's why they sound so big and larger than life at times. Which is, it's something I really appreciate, and I found kind of charming in a way. That was the second time I saw them. I saw them first at Earth last year.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. I thought this was the first time.
Yeah, no, this was the second time. So Earth was the first time I saw them, which is like a 1,200 caps venue. The Roundhouse is, I think, 3,200, and they sold out. And their next tour is happening in autumn this year, and they're playing the Apollo twice, which is another 2,000 people more, I think. So they're going through the roof, and it's great to see. I've been following them for a while, and it's just nice that, like, despite all the industry plant bullshit and all the noise around them, they're just doing their thing.
And we can look forward to seeing them supporting Metallica in the near future. You don't want to know how long I was sitting on wanting to say that.
All right. That's all about the last dinner party at the Roundhouse. Adam, what shows have you seen recently?
So I saw The Tubs at Heartbreakers a couple of weeks ago. which was a rescheduled show. They were due to come down originally, I think, in November. I think it was in support of their album that came out last year, Dead Meat, which I really, really enjoy. They're a kind of jangly college rock kind of power pop band, which, I mean, I love just those words I've just said. I love stuff that sounds like that. I'm not going to lie. So, yeah, it was great that they came down. And, yeah, it was a fairly quiet show in terms of attendance. It was a Saturday night. And it's always kind of hit and miss in Southampton in general, but with that venue where maybe you'll go along on a Friday or Saturday and it can be kind of quiet, and then you'll go on a Sunday, as I have been before, and it's been completely full. But in terms of the venue itself, I mean, as I said before, it sounds great. The sound there is amazing for a 100, 120 cap venue. And the band were great. It was a fairly short set. I think there was a slight sense of, because they had to postpone the show, they had to come back to Southampton, and it wasn't around any of the other tour. You know, it was kind of a tagged on thing, I guess.
You think that the buzz around the tour had subsided a little?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the sense I got. And that's not to take away from the performance. They played all the songs really well, and I really, really enjoyed the show. But I think it had it been in the height of when they were playing the other shows around that time, it might have been, they might have been a bit more engaged. But yeah, it was a nice early finish, so there's always that. So I definitely recommend checking out Dead Meat. I think it's a really good album. It really captures the spirit of that kind of music, and if you're into it, you'll probably really enjoy it.
So, Adam, what's coming up at Community Noise?
So the big news is we are now open and taking bookings.
Oh, cool.
Which is, a massive milestone. As you know, the last 2 months I've spent building, screwing, sawing various bits of things together to get the studio ready to be able to take bookings. And I'm just really glad that the studio is now ready to take bookings. And we have had a few projects come in already, which has been really nice. It's been wicked showing the space to friends as well and other people. And yeah, if you want to learn more, please go to communitynoise.online and check us out on Instagram @community_noise. Okay, that's it. Thank you very much for listening. This has been the Community Noisecast. We'll be back again soon, and we hope you'll join us. In the meantime, please check out communitynoise.online, and we'll see you again soon.
Bye-bye.